Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, 347-637-3942, 347-637-3942. Welcome to the American Allegiance Show, coming to you live from Ohio, somewhere in Ohio, Huber Heights to be exact. A lot of drama going on here, but we love it every single day. You see me on the Facebook page, you'll see that there's a lot of events that are within walking distance of my house. That's why I like this community. Always community-minded, always taking care of the children, finding lost dogs. That's a hobby of some people here. The weather's kind of hot for this time of year, but hey, it is what it is. So remember, this is the Patriot Nation Radio Network, one of a kind. Patriot Nation Radio. And on Patriot Nation Radio, you can hear Mr. Mark Hoffman. He's the guy who runs this whole network that I'm on. And his faithful sidekick and sometimes producer, James Bostick, listen for his shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Mark will be on Thursday, too, afternoon. And then Gonzalo Duran, once a month, he'll be on. He's a great host that has an awesome charity, Devil Dogs USA. He helps veterans out when they get out of the service. And we also have Mr. Eric Baker and Peter Seraphine. They're both on Mojo 5-0. And Peter Seraphine actually is on Harvey N. He's got a lot of ads there. But I was very surprised. I was like, I know that guy. So I'm glad they joined our network. And he also sponsors the Liberty Minute. He writes that commercial, and he talks about constitutional stuff. And other than that, this is the American Legion Show. We have a special guest tonight. It is Mr. Jonathan McCullough, founder of Urban Conservative America. Welcome to the program, Mr. McCullough. Tell us about yourself, sir.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me on, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. So tell us about yourself and your organization.
Well, I'm a native Houstonian, born and raised in Houston, Texas, United States of America. I had a few challenges early on in my life that took me for a nosedive for about 21 years, and I developed a relationship with the Creator. And in addition to this experience, this transformation, I was given this assignment for such a time. I've never really had much knowledge about the political arena, nor did many of the people in the community that I hail from had much knowledge about it either. I know that now. But I asked God to give me an assignment. When he delivered me from my situation, I asked him to give me an assignment. And he remembered, when I was young, how curious I was as to why the community primarily all voted one way. When I was young, before I knew anything about politics, that was something that boggled my mind. I couldn't understand why everybody in the same community vote the same way. Why are we all competing to do basically the same thing? All this was a mystery to me, but my eyes have become open. The Trump administration was a spiritual awakening, if you will. A lot of people probably wouldn't agree because they probably don't understand, but once upon a time I was there. But nevertheless, it was a spiritual awakening, and the condition that I was in was in the spiritual realm. So this is where the correlation came in. So, my God gave me an assignment and some insight as to what is going on. And that was the inspiration for me to start Urban Conservatives of America, because I see the deception that has taken place in our country, basically in every institution, all through the communities. And I mean, the urban families, the urban communities have been lied to. You know, I hate to put it in such blunt terms, but this is what it is. And I have a heart for people, and this is what brought this idea, this Urban Conservatives of America idea, into fruition. The Trump administration, he came in and he basically taught all those that were paying attention. He basically taught America what side they should be on, and not only that, how they should operate. And I paid very close attention to most of what he was saying and ignored all the derogatory comments that they were slinging towards the 45th president. And in doing so, I got a lot of information, and I learned a lot, along with the Spirit teaching me a lot. And like I said, there's a need in our community for, in fact, not just one community, but basically all the communities. But we all have an assignment. We all have people that are awake, not woke, but awakened, and can see the problem. They have an assignment as well. So Urban Conservatives of America is the organization that I founded. It's a nonprofit organization. We're committed to restoring and promoting and protecting America's traditional values: God, family, and country, faith, family, and freedom. This is the foundation of America. This is the fabric of America. If we get away from this fabric, if we get away from the foundation, well, we're asking for trouble. And this is all, this is what we're about. We have a chapter in Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston currently, and our aspirations is to take this message and this mission across the United States. It's needed. The people need to know the truth, and we are committed to delivering that.
Yeah, I like that. I love that. I know some people you can start in Ohio with if you're interested.
Awesome. Absolutely. So, absolutely. Let's get it done. Let's grow. Let's grow together. We cannot, and based on you saying that, we cannot, and let me add this, we cannot do this without unity. We all have to come together, the believers, the conservatives, we have to come together, because optics is powerful. And you put that with truth, now you're going to start getting people's attention. But unity is a powerful element that we must tap into.
Right. So what did you find that was the issue with the black community that you grew up in? Why did everybody vote the same? And I can probably answer that question myself, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I think it's a tribal monolithic approach that we have adapted as the norm. Now, it takes years to do such a thing, and this is how far we've fallen. It comes from a combination of things. One is idolatry, and let me break that down a little bit. Idolatry meaning, of course, we're talented. Everybody knows that we're talented. It's no surprise that we're athletically gifted, musically inclined, and all this. These things can work against us if we're not paying attention. And this is what has taken place throughout generations, not just most recently, but we're talking about 60 years. What happens is we get basically the foundation of the problem is, and I'll just say this, is not trusting God for one. That's the foundation. Let's just start there. Not trusting God, trusting what you're being told on television by people, quote-unquote idols, that you admire, and you think it's a powerful game that they play it. So it's kind of, I know, and you know the answer, and you probably know what I'm saying, but, you know, to explain it, it's a tribal, monolithic culture. culture that we've gotten caught up in throughout not years but decades. And we go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
No. You hit it. I said you got it. You nailed it. Because I always say, and when I talk on programs, I always say it's a monolithic cultural thing where everybody's pretty much told, if you go the other way, then it's like you're the black sheep, and it's not tolerated very well, and everybody does.
Right.
If the church tells you.
Right.
You know, you got your pastors telling you, and CNN is a channel they watch, right? Or for the most part. Or
right.
They only watch mainstream. So you only get one side of it. And then people tell you, and the Democrats, the politicians tell you how you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to vote as well. And the TV news, because how they say, the black vote is only one way. So you got it.
Right. It's the only way. Joe Biden was quoted as saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. So now the nerves, the audacity of him to say that and not get any pushback about that statement is alarming. But yet, Trump can say something and mean well about what he's saying, and y'all take that and run with it and twist it all up, because what you're doing, you're running with things that you heard from our enemies. And as Trump, go ahead, brother.
Hey, here's okay. You brought up Charlemagne the false god. Okay. Okay, that's a perfect example, because people admire him and think he's the greatest guy, but he didn't push back on it. What are your thoughts of that?
Well, the reason he didn't push back on it is because he's not allowed to push back on it. He's not allowed to push back on it simply because these people pay his salary. See, they put these people in position for optics' sake. They put these people in position for optics, and you think that because he looked like you and shared the same melanin as you are, that he would never do you anything wrong. This is a horrible, horrible game of deceit. You know, we're spiritual beings at the end of the day. I mean, good and evil does not discriminate because they're spirits.
Right.
So simply because someone looks like me, where does all of this trust come from? So, and this goes back to what I was saying concerning the monolithic tribal culture. It's an alternative reality, if you will. It's an alternative reality. You're not living in reality. You are, you know, we have feelings and ideas about things that aren't really happening. It's because it's a conditioning. It's a conditioning through this monolithic culture that we've embraced. And now let me tell you, we have a long way to go. But the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And we are going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving forward. The problem is deep because it runs through generations. And and we're going to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and it's reinforced constantly through songs, through television, stereotypes, and family, church. There's like the whole culture is almost trapped in this trap.
Until
they find out, wait a minute. Yeah.
Right. The only way, and the unfortunate thing about this whole situation, the most unfortunate thing is that the church has not come to the rescue. They have played a part.
Right.
They have been an accessory to this indoctrination and this monolithic culture. Because one thing about spirituality and the Holy Bible, one thing about that is that this is designed, the information to break you from this type of monolithic thinking is through scripture. Now, for them to target the church first was evil yet ingenious, you know, because now we've intercepted their faith. You understand what I'm saying? We've intercepted that, and we put pastors in place. Okay, it's just, wow, it's a deep problem, but it's not something for which there isn't a resolution for. And the resolution is that people that have been awakened to step to the plate. We're living in a time where those that we thought were quote-unquote influencers, leaders, are not really. What they're doing is leading you into captivity. So what it's going to take, it's going to take people like ourselves to liberate the people. You don't have to be anything special to liberate somebody. You just have to be real and have courage to tell people what it is and fight the good fight of faith.
Absolutely. It's not an easy thing, you know, because, you know, I know conservatives at the church I go to, but, you know, they don't say they are, if you know what I mean, because it's all about, you know, oh, but interesting enough, there's a guy who absolutely hates Republicans and Trumps. He'll call me Republican. But a couple weeks ago, he was like, hey, what's wrong with Biden? He's wrecking this country. We need to get him out and put a Republican in and then get another Democrat in later, which makes no sense. But he actually said that. I was surprised.
Right.
But
well,
then people see it with the economy.
Yeah, they see. And you know what? A lot of times, in a lot of cases, people are hard-headed, and they have to experience. Experience is the greatest teacher. Experience can teach you like nothing else can. And God uses the foolish things. He said, I have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Why? Because some people are not going to get it based on what you told them. Experience have to teach people. And let me tell you something. If people are institutionally honest, they would tell you. But pride kicks in because they don't want to say, well, you know what, you were right. But if people would be institutionally honest, they would tell you, man, I made a mistake. That Joe Biden and the Democratic Party is a train wreck. But he is the face of the Democratic Party. So everything he does, everything he says, this is who the Democrats are. What's going on now, we're not discovering something that just occurred. We are being
right.
This is a revelation of what things have, the way things have always been. Okay, the light has come on. He has, for his children, he have turned the lights on so people can see what has been taking place this whole time. Here it is, right here. Here, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden. Here he is. Listen to him and watch him, and he's going to tell you who we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So true. So true because, I think this is a trend because people are, like, complaining. Some people can't eat meat anymore. I have friends who can't eat meat. Why? Because they can't afford it. You can't afford bacon or steak or anything, and the gas prices are really high. People see this. They're feeling it. I don't care if you lower it down 18 cents. It doesn't make any difference, okay?
It doesn't make any difference.
People are feeling it. Right.
That's the only thing that's going to teach them because for 4 years, we preached 24 hours a day on social media. Trump is not the guy that they're telling you he is. He's the best guy for the job. He's a businessman. I mean, we went on and on. The 81 million. We tried to tell him. But these people, and I really believe that there were some irregularities in the election. I think it was stolen, but that's another story. But we still are experiencing who the Democrats are. This pain that America is suffering is because of the Democratic Party, and more people need to know it.
Yeah.
Not just 81 million people. We need 300 million people to know.
Right. You got it. This is a lot bigger than we think because people going to the food pantries is up, way up, and people not working is up. You can't even buy it. You can't get a car. You can't go to a lot and buy a car. A new car.
Right.
It's hard to find a used car. And all this
and
stuff
they finally admitted that we're in a recession.
Oh, did they?
They finally came
wow.
out and said that we're officially in a recession, basically stating the obvious. You know, people are feeling the pain, as you said. And, and we know what's going on. And the only thing we can do is pray that it doesn't get worse. And hopefully, come November, we get a lot of red seats. We get a lot of red seats across the country, and maybe we can move forward with some type of investigation on the election or something. Because how much more can we take of it? How much more can we take?
Right. I mean, we can't, because they have taken, what, 40 years of progress and erased all of it with inflation, stagflation, and that hurts everybody, the black community, white community, the American community. We don't have our own oil. What are we doing here? People don't like this.
Right.
They're not going to stand for it.
Right. No,
I don't
no.
care who you are. Yeah.
Nobody's going to stand for it much longer. But
right.
you know, it's a trickle-down effect. First, it starts with, you know, the socioeconomic, where you on the socioeconomic level, and it moves up. Sooner or later, it's going to get everybody. Right now, there are people that can afford the gas. There are people that can afford the food. But it's getting to them, too. You understand? It's getting to them, too. So at the at the end of the day, everybody's going to learn. Everybody's going to, listen, this woke stuff has been garbage since day one. And this has been a deflection to keep people. And this is, by the way, what they've done to the black community. They use emotionalism. They talk about things that are not relevant to what people need to be thinking about or people need to be concerned about or what people need to be voting about. It's all been a game, and the game has been exposed. And I don't care what your educational level is, you know that Joe Biden and the Democratic Party is a train wreck. They are a disaster for America. Why are we selling our oil reserves? God bless this country to be self-sufficient. We are blessed. That's a crime. That's a crime to drain our oil reserves and sell them to our enemies. You know, a lot of people have spoken about the left and the Democrats throughout the years. It was basically privacy. A lot of people, Ronald Reagan, a lot of people have said things that a lot of people didn't pay attention to, that many people didn't pay attention to. And he said, we are one generation from communism. Ronald Reagan said that we're only one generation from communism. So every election season, we have the freedom has a huge responsibility. It has that response. It's not just, you know, we can do whatever we want to do, or we can make all the money we want to make. Yes, those are the incentives. But at the end of the day, to keep freedom, you have to fight for it. You have to vote for it. You have to know what you're doing, or it will leave you. It will leave you. Every country in the world has a quote-unquote democratic type system where the government runs the country. We have our version of it, the Democratic Party. We have our version of it. These people call America a democracy, but it's not a democracy.
Right.
It's a constitutional republic. You see the deceit?
Absolutely.
That's deceitful. A democracy, from what I understand, means majority rule. Well, if majority rule, why in the world would black people vote for an arrangement like that? And they're only 13% of the population.
Right. Yep, you're right. Why would they? But
why would
that's what
they
believe.
Such an arrangement. That's what they believe.
That's what they do.
Exactly. It's a system. We are... you know what? My co-founder and I, we always say it's like they urged us to reject what we were delivered to and reach back and accept what we were delivered from.
Right.
Now that's a deep,
right.
That's a deep
that's
statement.
Perfect.
That's a very, very deep statement right there, because it makes a whole lot of sense.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
Why? And we don't see that. See, this type of message can be taught in the environment of a church setting, because this is what the Bible says: where good is, evil is always present. There's absolutely no situation where good is alone. If evil is always present. We were born in the greatest country in the world. We are blessed to live in the greatest country in the world. The greatest country in the world. Contrary to what you've been told or made to believe, we live in the greatest country in the world. Otherwise, people wouldn't be coming here through our southern border. They wouldn't be coming here.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be coming here.
Yeah, right. You have that. That's perfect, because I'll tell you what, I graduated in 2017. I did 30 years in the military. I graduated 2017 from college.
Well, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you. This country was, capitalism doesn't work. We're the worst country. We're interfering with everybody else. And communism is the best way to go. These are students learning from the teachers. They don't understand. And I've been to communist countries. I've been to countries where they have dictatorships. You don't want to live there. You don't want to be like that. You have no rights.
No.
Your life doesn't matter. This is the best country in the world. You could say that about Paris or London, but they have rules that you probably wouldn't like compulsory things everybody has to do. They control where you live. If you rent something, they control that too. So this is the best. Unless you live on an island by yourself, go with that.
Right. It's about conquer and divide. You make them hate their country and they won't defend it. And this is what we are. And this is what they do with the music through the big screen, the television, slave movies. Oh, this is a game. I was never a slave. I'm a 7th, 8th generation American. I was never a slave. Why are we talking about something that has nothing to do with me? Okay? From the time I was born until the day that I die, when I meet my creator, slavery will not be on my resume. you see, because this has nothing to do with me whatsoever. Why is everybody so upset about something that never happened to them? I don't understand that. But you upset about something that happened 200 years ago, but you're not marching about something that happened 2 days ago when somebody did a drive-by and the bullet hit somebody's child. You're not mad about that.
Right.
You're not mad about that, but you got the nerves of standing in the street and hold your fist up talking about slavery 200 years ago, reparations and all this type of stuff. Listen, look, reparations, that's another hoax. That's another game. Yes. It just goes from one extreme to another. What does somebody that was a slave 200 years ago that long gone, many generations have passed since then, many people have lived and died since then, and all of a sudden you born in 1960, 1970, 1980, you're talking about reparations. What do you want reparations for? First of all, if somebody gave you reparations, facts show that you would give it all back to the merchants. Because you're the nation's number one consumer. You are the nation's number one consumer. If somebody gave you reparations, do you know who would actually benefit from those reparations? The people that are that business establishments. They will get your reparations.
Yeah, absolutely. They will take it from you.
Here's something that was hidden. From the black community was the platinum plan that Donald Trump had, that initiative, the $500 billion that he wanted to give, for LLCs, nonprofits, whatever. That was excellent, because you're giving it to people that's business minded. Because what good would it do to give it to people just to go out and give it away?
Right.
What good would it do? It would be purposeless.
I can tell you right now, go ahead. You're right. I can tell you right now, all that money went to Ukraine this year.
Oh, my goodness. They are stealing that money. Well, It appears to be money laundering. Yeah, that's what it looks like to me, money laundering. and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. We don't have a these people are mobs. Trump even said he almost jobbed the mobs.
Yeah.
He knew.
Yes.
He knew.
Right.
You know, he knows mobsters. He knows those kind of people. But back to the reparations thing, you can't. Yeah, nobody was ever a slave, number one. Number two, everybody was freed eventually, and there is no basis. How are you going to collect something from something you never suffered from? That's the thing. And people, but they keep putting it in front of our faces, you know. Politicians will say here and there, but they never happens. So,
it's a game of luring. It's a game. It's throwing disingenuous incentive out because they know that, you know, you like money, you like to spend. It's a game. And let me tell you something. You're not going to ever get anything worth anything of substance from the left. You're not going to get anything of substance from the left. That's an illusion because they're not the party of freedom. Okay, they're not the party of freedom and prosperity unless it's for themselves. Certainly not for the masses. So people have to discover who they're dealing with in order to negotiate with. So you're not going to get anything from these people of substance from the left. The whole left side is corrupt, and the corruption has spilled over into the right side. But that, of course, that's another story. You know.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
it is. I got to ask you a question. So,
sure.
Speaking of that, this is what upsets me. I want your opinion of it. Everything that happens, or every new movement, they always throw the black community in front of it, like the LGBT with the rainbow, and you know the gay, lesbian. They always have the rainbow flag that we used to have. Then they have. They march with them in the black, you know, BLM. They're marching with them. And they put up, the blacks put up with everything. They put up, everything's like on the back of blacks as the movement to move other movements. So we're a movement, okay? We're angry blacks or something, but they're using us as a catalyst for every other movement, it seems like, you know, in the media. I'm tired of it. What's your opinion of that?
Well, my opinion of that is that evil takes the path of the least resistance. It will always take the path of the least resistance. We accept it, so shall it be. And it goes back to this idolatry and this monolithic, you know, if it's said on television or if it's said by somebody that sings or dances or plays football, it must be true. Because, they from our community. I mean, we're dealing with a very, very deep state of delusion. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with that based on, and it stems from, as I said earlier, it stems from idolatry. We trust these people that look like us, that are put before us on television, and what they say is the law.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yes,
I see
that a lot.
Yeah, and most definitely evil will always take the path of the least resistance. If this is what is acceptable to us, well, then they'll continue to pour it on.
Okay.
But thank God for people like ourselves. Go ahead.
Yes. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say thank God for people like ourselves because we can stand in the gap. We can stand up, but it's going to take a united front to make a difference. We cannot overcome this scatter.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. Your opinion, who are the black leaders? Because, you know, if you watch the news, there's only like three black leaders. Who are the black leaders that are taking the blacks, you know, to the slaughter? Who do you think, you can name them or you can just hint to them, and what
currently,
are they doing? Why do they do that? Yes.
Currently, of course, you have LeBron James. You have, I mean, it's basically all of them. Whoever, whatever black celebrity is hot at the time, it's his assignment to keep us on the quote-unquote Democratic plantation. And so whoever has the most following, whoever has the buzz, is their responsibility.
Yeah.
It's like tag team. And here's the thing. It makes you wonder, how deep is this thing? Because at the end of the day, a person that has talent, he's more valuable than the people that's marketing his talent. So why does he undermine his gift, which is God-given? Why does he undermine it and give the control to the people that must market him and put him out? It's really sad. But who knows how far this goes back. But to answer your question, this has been taking place. This has been taking place for a long time. For a very long time, through generations. But today, you have your rappers, your Cardi B's of the world, you have your, your LeBron James, you know, everybody speaks to what we should do. You know, Malcolm X said once upon a time, you can't find another community other than the black community that has leaders. Well, basically, he was saying, what are these leaders for? He knew what they were for, but he was challenging black people of that time to think.
Yeah.
Because they were going to use these as idols and as influences to keep you in a monolithic state of mind. And in 2022, it's still taking place. But thank God for the Great Awakening. Thank God for people like yourself, our organization, Urban Conservatives of America. Because we are not going to lay down and take this anymore. We are going to push back. We're going to stand up. We're going to come together. And we're going to let freedom reign through truth. It's the truth that sets us free. It's all been a game.
Yep. And, you know, everybody's saying, put me in, coach. It doesn't work. That play is busted already before you get there because there's nothing there. I mean, it's the carrot hanging. That you never get, and that's what I see a lot. And they blame the wrong people in the wrong situation. Okay, for example, you got a gun and you're running from the police. You're going to get shot. But everybody's like, oh, no, they did it. You know, they're not out to hunt people, you know what I mean? The police are not out to kill people. They have their own career and everything. But, you know, you watch CNN and that's what's going on. You watch the mainstream media.
Yes. They show you what they want you to see, and they tell you what they want you to know. You know, but it's total mind control. Nobody's thinking for themselves. People are upset about some guy that probably would kill them if he had a chance to
running from
the police and turn around with a gun. And he's probably got a rap sheet as long as Interstate 10. And people get upset. Why did they have to kill him? Here's the thing. The life of crime comes with consequences. There is no, if you cannot do the time, don't do the crime. Police have a job to do. And criminals have a job to do to avoid police. So when that time comes and you caught, you caught. Be a man up. Be accountable for what you did. How in the world is he wrong and he's the police and you right and you the criminal?
Right. Exactly. I love how you put that. That's 100%.
That's right.
You got two different roles and they oppose each other. You're going to have conflict.
Right.
And the minute you run, you broke the law. You're evading the police,
There is zero chance that you can shoot at a cop, shoot in the air or whatever, and get away with it. It's never happened before. You will not shoot at a cop and get away with it. Why play a game that you cannot win?
Right. Yeah, they think they can, and then, you know, mom shows up and she's crying. Oh, yeah, also, Mr. Ben Crump shows up at every one of those. It's Ernie for almost everything. And the funny thing is, our church has Benjamin Crump, fans in the pews. And I'm like, how do they get these? So he's sending those out everywhere. I mean, that's a strategy.
Wow.
And so you're going to side with him.
It's almost like a sci-fi movie. I mean, people are doing the same thing over and over and over, and nobody's getting it. I mean, you would have to say, well, why every time this happens, this guy shows up? Why is he the center of attention? Why has he got to represent everybody that get killed by a cop? You can't see it. The playbook is right in your face. It's right in your face. It's got the same guy, you know, represents everybody. It's really sad. But, you know, I tell you, you can only help those that want to be helped. If you're led by your emotions, if you think with your heart, well, there's very little that anybody can do for you. You have to have a come to Jesus moment or something. But it's not. We have to learn to think for ourselves. I mean, get out of this alternative reality. This is an alternative reality. You know, it's a state of delusion, and it's deep, but it's possible to break. And we're committed to doing that.
Yes.
Because people don't deserve to be treated that way. People are genuinely, they have genuine good hearts, and to take advantage of them simply because they don't understand the games that you're playing, I think is cruel. And enough is enough. And Donald Trump even thought enough was enough because he exposed it all. So we're going to keep fighting and opening eyes, and things will change.
I totally agree, because I see it now. I see people questioning things, and like, you know, because it's like it's hitting so hard now. I never thought it would be going this far, right? I never thought that it would get to this level so fast, and all the. You start seeing the tyranny from the government, and they want you to do this and that. They have no authority. And people are accepting that, but people are against it. People want to do their own thing. They're pretty much done right now with this mask thing for different things out there. Like, they want you to do it. It's like, who are you? I mean, you can't. Just like the abortion bill where the president tried to reverse it with it. It has nothing to do with the state. The Constitution overrides that, so that's eroding a little bit as we go. So, I mean, the water gets carried, then we're in trouble. So, and like we were talking about Ben Crump, it used to be Jesse Jackson, and Al Sharpton would already have the plane fired up.
Al Sharpton. Right. And even before those two that you mentioned, you know, it's just... I mean, it's been a pattern, and these people have presented the same playbook, and it's worked.
Right.
Hillary Clinton said on the Breakfast Club one time, I think y'all have maybe not asked her about the hot sauce and say, people say you're pandering? And she said in their faces, she said it worked. Wow.
Oh. I would have said, open up your purse and show us the hot sauce.
You're right.
Because he knows he was lying.
Exactly.
I must have left it at home with the fried chicken.
Right.
Really blatant about that stuff. She's so blatant. Biden are the most blatant ones. Incredible.
It tells you, it truly is. And she said in their faces, and I was shocked when she said that, because and nobody replied. Because they know better.
Right. Yeah, everybody does. Hey, but the good thing is she didn't feel no ways tired, so she's all right.
Okay, okay, she didn't.
I don't feel no ways tired. Oh my goodness, girl. No, you know, I'm just like somebody would say, girl, what you singing that for? But no,
right.
It's funny. Yeah, back in chains, it's funny. This is just bizarre. I mean, it's all
it
weird.
Is.
Just
it is. It is.
Oh, just keep putting it out there. And they put it in your face. And then they rub it. And then you like it.
And then they
it. That's cool.
Wow.
And, you know, just the things like black children are roaches, right? That's what I got out of it. Everybody else did. But it's okay. You know, with the pork chop, whatever, camera, popcorn. Popcorn, right? The stories that don't make any sense.
Right.
And,
none whatsoever.
You know,
it's
just,
corn pop.
Yeah. None whatsoever. But they're
none
insulting.
Whatsoever.
That's just, yeah, go ahead.
No. I can't believe how these people can do that and get away with it. And just to go back to what I was saying concerning the idols and the celebrities, the idols, who I call the celebrities, these people can say these things and get no pushback from Hollywood, Black Hollywood. None whatsoever.
Right.
Because they all are in check. But they call But they call us the problem makers. Or they try to cancel us, call us these derogatory names like coon and all that because we don't think like the herd. You know? No. And we won't think like the herd because we're on to what they're doing and we're not going to take it anymore.
Right. We're derogatory names if you're different. And that is a serious problem because if you don't fit in, you're not down with the cause, which I don't know what the cause is. The cause should be Americans. And I like what you said. Yeah, I like what you said on the phone earlier today. We're Americans first. We're not blacks. We're not this, that, and the other. We're not Democrats, Republicans. We're Americans first. And that's how we succeed. And
that's how we work.
I agree. Okay, the military has more blacks than you could ever imagine. People don't realize the military, that's the number one place to go to succeed and to be successful and rank and everything. So this alternative that a lot of people are finding out, they'll just leave. There's nothing in their town. They go there. I've seen even a lot of Africans join the U.S. Army. Because it's an opportunity. So they may struggle a little bit too there, but it's like they're becoming top of everything now. They get becoming generals of branches and everything, and it's beautiful to see. And I encourage people. Except for my dad joined the Air Force. There's nothing where he was. There are no jobs, no nothing. He left, and he got a career out of retired after 20 years. So.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't, like, it's like a thing where people put it down. A lot of people put it, well, why would I do that kind of thing? I don't want to say it. Don't want to, you know, the man can't tell me what to do or whatever. But I think it's part of that mindset where you are not the king of yourself. You have to think about other groups, other things, you know, and you can't be monolithic. Just like college, I hear a lot of my black friends put college down. Why are you going to college? And college isn't encouraged as much as others. And a lot of people find that on their own. They decide, hey, I'm going to college.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. It's not really a big push. So there's other things in the community that are broken down. And if you could talk about that a little bit.
Can you repeat that question again, please?
So a lot of things are not encouraged in the black community, like college. or getting a doctor, master's degree or something. Just like the students find that on their own, they pursue that, but it's not really something that, hey, you got to go to college, we'll get a scholarship together, or the community or the church will get scholarships. You don't see that openly as an alternative. And if you think about going to college, you're pretty much on your own. And I got feedback when I was going at my old age of 49, where are you going to college? So I think that's one of the things missing, one of the elements. Like, I have a lot of Jewish friends that are like, they have no choice from the very get-go where they're in grade school. They are going to college no matter what. It's just the difference in cultures. It's just like the Oriental, they do that too. But we don't have that in the Black community as much. You're pretty much on your own. So what are your thoughts?
You're pretty much,
do you see that?
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely I see it. I think it's a cultural thing that we don't put such a priority on education as we should. I think it's passed on. I think it comes from generations past to where, it could also be the spirit of low expectations. And
right.
This is what the left likes to hone in on when they're dealing with the Black community. But the college thing, you can, it's not encouraged, but it's not the end of the world if you don't go to college. But
right.
I think it goes back to that celebrity idolatry stuff, because
right.
what a lot of us think, we see this, these people do videos counting money and showing their cards. We see
yeah.
this as, this is our path to prosperity. But the reality of it is that everybody can't run fast because they're Black. Everybody can't sing because they're Black. You know, but we aspire to be these things that television presents to us. Television is a powerful tool when it comes to the Black community. It's a powerful tool. It shapes in so many ways our desire and our aspirations to do things in life. We want to be like that man that we saw on television. We're not, you know, it's crazy. It comes from a culture thinking, and it goes back to monolithic thinking, you know, and it's passed on. But we have to break that cycle. We have to break that cycle in a big way. Because we're all created equal, God gave us all a brain, and nobody dictates. The government is not responsible for us being here. So why
right.
would we place them responsible for our destiny? So we have to get away from this government dependency. And another thing, it comes from also fatherless homes. That they don't have that first that leader, that alpha leader, that inspirational person, that hard worker. It doesn't matter what he did, but just, you know, that father figure is very, very important in the grand
right.
scheme of things. Because you'll either inspire to do what he do, or what he do will turn you off so bad to you'll go to school. But one way or the other, that father figure is very, very important. And 76% of the in the Black community, children that are born to a fatherless home, and that is an alarming percentage. And it's not just in the Black community,
yeah.
but disproportionately more in the Black community. It's become normal to be born, you know, this baby mama, baby daddy culture. Then it goes back to what I said earlier about rejecting what you were delivered to and accepting what you were delivered from. You know, this baby mama culture, and they're trying to make it normal. Mama made Ebonics an official language and all that. This is a game. You know, this
right.
is a game.
Yes,
this is a game of low expectations.
Wow. And you're rocking that tonight. I like that. And it's true.
Yeah.
It is so true.
Yeah.
I see that myself. The expectations for you becoming a star football player, basketball player are pretty high, even though the percentages are nil. people think right. that's going to happen to their son or their, you know, somebody's, and I see that too. It's like, go to college. You know, it's a whole other level when you go to college. Kids are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Expectations are higher. And then a lot of pressure's on those kids. But, you know, everybody wants to be also a gospel music star.
Right. So. Everybody wants to, right. They want the fame.
Right.
They want the money and the fame. You know?
Right.
So, But that's a price you must pay, and a lot of people think that, you know, it's all, you know, what it seems on television. But these people have to go to bed at night. These people are lonely. These people have a conscience. Some of them do. Those that still have one, you know, and
right.
I'm sure a lot of them question, was this even worth it? Because it takes a lot from you.
Right. So can you still hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, we have a caller. Would you like to take a call? Yes, we have a caller for you.
Sure,
question?
Sure.
Okay, caller, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Sean Scott. I'm actually the co-founder of UCA. And I just wanted to weigh in on the topic that you
sure.
were talking about in regards to college and these
yes.
low expectations. I've seen just across the board where in our community as a whole, you know, it is glorified the children, whether they are in entertainment, you know, singing, you know, in music, whether they're playing football, basketball, the arts and all these things, whether they're a comedian, it's like those things are glorified and those things are pushed and promoted. But it's almost like they are being set up to where people just really don't respect their minds. You know, it's,
right.
it's almost like they we have become a sideshow. You know, that our
right.
value
yes.
doesn't go above entertainment. And we are much more than that. And that has a lot to do with those low expectations. God has put
mm-hmm.
in each and every one of us. He has created. We were made in his image and in his likeness. We all have God-given brains. You know, and unfortunately, we have been dumbed down to the point where we are not using the intellect that God has given us, basically to go out there and attain and maintain wealth. They think the only way to, I guess, quote unquote, make it in life is to do all these different things, which we know in the entertainment world, in order to get to a level of where you feel like you have made it, you have to compromise yourself in so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if we were to actually use what God has given us to attain and maintain that wealth, something that we can leave behind for our children and grandchildren, you know, we won't be dependent upon those persons who signed that paycheck. We would actually be in a position where we could sign the paycheck. So
that is correct. I love it.
That's pretty much what that's pretty much what I wanted to say, because you got in the subject.
Well, hang around because you're part of UCA.
And I think I think college is a beautiful thing, but we also know what happens in college. I mean, they become indoctrination centers, you know.
Yeah.
So
right.
you know, depending on, and not every child is built to go to college. You know, though vocational schools would be great. We are suffering from a lack of skilled labor in the United States, and they're having to outsource a whole lot of other things. So, you know, I just feel like that, and these are some things that we want to promote in our communities, vocational schools and things like that, because there are other options if someone chooses not to go to college, but they have to do something. You know, we've all been gifted with something, creative ability to do something, so where we can take care of ourselves and our families.
I totally agree. I totally agree, because I have vocational school and getting a skill, you can make a lot of money that way, and you have a skill forever. And, yeah,
right.
That, that is something that they cannot take from you.
That's right.
Correct.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nor is there the sacrifice that comes with that.
Right.
You know,
my father.
Like you spoke.
Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No. I was saying, you know, you were saying about the compromising sometimes to get to a certain level. I say none of that is a part of the deal when you have your own skill and, you know,
your place
and provide your own services. You know, and that's all the part about being free. I mean, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then he loses his soul? And he's not necessarily talking about losing his soul after he's gone, but he can lose his soul and still be walking around.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a sermon right there.
Still, yes, sir. Yeah, he's not talking about later. Yeah, there's a lot of people walking around that lost their soul now, and it's not even coming. I mean, you know, Solomon in the Bible said, you know, he was one of the richest men of those times. And he said, I've got everything that I want. I've got the women, I got the money, but it's all vain and vexation of spirit. In other words, I'm empty. I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, this is the story that's not being told because, you know, they put this stuff on television and show these kids counting money and, you know, in these cars. That's a game. The truth of the matter is
you're right.
There's something that they're losing to get that. And, you know, to each his own. But, I mean, you know, my soul is not the veil.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but but my father, he had an eighth grade education. He grew up in Palmetto, Louisiana. His father passed, and so he dropped out of school to help take care of the farm and everything. But he went on to do great things. He had a career, and he had his own paint and body shop, and he had all kind of little odd jobs. But, you know, he made his own way. You know, he didn't look for the government or anyone to take care of him and his family. He was he achieved a lot in his life in spite of having that eighth grade education. You know, so, you know, the sky is the limit. You know, regardless if you do go to school, if you go to vocational school, but it's about knowing who you are, you know, understanding what God has put within you and using that to be able to take care of yourself and your family.
You know,
I totally agree.
You know, that's great. I love that story. If you don't mind, look, can I add to that? We were you know, family is a blessing.
Oh,
it's not a curse. It's a blessing. But the way it's being spun is that it's a burden. You know what I mean? So people want to be, you know, they want to live their best life absent the responsibility. But as I said, families were once, you know, this was the pinnacle. Any man that had a family, he took pride in taking care of his family. That generation, and we've and since then, they have tried hard. The left have tried very, very hard and in so many ways been successful in destroying the family. I was just saying a few minutes ago how 76% of children born in the black community alone are born without a father in the home. So what they've done is taken advantage of a culture that they know more about than you, and you actually live in it. You know, they know more about the culture than you know. Because when you put intelligence with evil, how you doing? You have a formidable force. When you put intelligence with evil, life is not fun and games and they have a good time every day, every night, every Friday. You know, life, I said earlier also that just to be free comes with great responsibility. You're not free from responsibility. You're free with responsibility.
Right, because you see all these TikTok videos and these reels, and people are living exactly what you're saying, the dream life, with, you know, they're just doing whatever they want. It's not reality. So
no,
there's like
consequences.
It's like right. It's a distraction. It's a perversion of reality. You got to work.
Right.
You got to work hard sometimes. You got to. I mean, we're here to work and get things done and provide. And for the betterment of society, we're not. Everything's playing games, and you got the metaverse and everything coming up online, and we got to be real. We got to. We have so many distractions. It's incredible. That's why
so
I like doing this program. I'm glad you two came on. Yeah.
You have, you know, everybody's, you know, the enemy's playing for keeps.
Right.
He's playing for keeps. If America goes to communism,
yeah.
You'll never get it back. You have to fight to get. I mean, fight. You have to go to war to get it back, and that's gonna take
right.
a lot of sacrifice. So you know,
yep.
this is, and then this comes from the lack of knowledge. You know, not knowing, you know, the basic. I mean, it's sad that you know you have a church in every corner in our community. You got a church in every corner. You probably have two or three in one square block. You know, but we don't understand. You know, what Pharaoh and God back in Exodus, what that was all about. That was government versus God. That's God, the diametrically opposed to God. The government, God. God created the government. God made the government hard like it is. Why? So the government can force you to him. You know, so you don't draw near to the government, you draw near to God. If you draw near to the government, you're just making a situation much, much worse. So it's just, and this is fundamental Bible stuff. Bible class, kindergarten Bible class, and it's just sad that we have so many churches on every corner in every, and I travel because I drive trucks, in every city, every state in America, in the community, church, black community, got churches everywhere, and this fundamental Sunday school principle, we don't know. What's
right.
the point? What's the point in having them if the people are not don't understand the very basics of government. And this is how you would know that America is the greatest country in the world. Because we
right.
don't, at least not yet, we don't have that government oppression, but they're trying to get it. How are they going to try to get it? They're trying to use people, or they're trying to create incentives that your flesh like. Create incentives that, you know, nobody wants to work. They want to create incentives so nobody wanted to go to work. They want to create incentives where people can become their own idols on these reels and these TikToks. They become their own idols. And they get preoccupied, worried about the likes and the shares and how many people commented on their posts. And now I really got their attention because they become idols and they're not even getting paid for it. Lord.
Yeah, clicks and likes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And everybody's a bishop these days. That's the goal. We've made it, right?
Yes.
Or apostle or whatever. But it's not about the titles. It's about what are you feeding? What are we giving back? What are we instructing instead of who we are, which, you know, with the big, the fancy cars and everything, and you got all this other stuff, and not trying to put anything down is the focus. I mean, they have a lot of power. Pastors have a lot of power. They can make a lot of change if they wanted to, if they understood.
And let me tell you something. That's interesting you said that. Let me tell you. And they're going to be held accountable. This is why they're held to a higher standard. It's because of the influence that they possess. And if, you
right.
know, the game that they're playing is very serious because in Revelation it says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And throughout the New Testament, God said, woe to those that scatter my sheep. He talked about false prophecy. So this is they're going to be held to
right.
higher standards. So the fact that you said they have a lot of power, that speaks to why they're
mm-hmm.
going to be held to a higher standard because yeah. it's serious. These people really trust
yeah.
that you're giving them what they need to hear so that their lives can be better, so they can leave something for their children, you know, et cetera. But it's not about
right.
that. These people are all for themselves, and it's really sad. And this is where we differ, African Conservatives of America, because we're going to tell it like it is. We're unapologetic. You know, we're not afraid. We're going to let you have it. And it's not you know, respectfully, because we want to see change. This is our calling. Somebody has to do it. If everybody's on board trying to lead people into captivity, who are the liberators? Who are the real liberators? They're going to be the true children of God. Who are the true children of God? People that love people, they love freedom, they understand to protect the inheritance of not just their own, but everybody else, by trying to wake people up and say, this is what can happen if we don't do this, or this is what's going to happen if we don't do this. So, you know, we are the children of God. This is our time. This is our responsibility. We were chosen for such a time, and we have to rise to the occasion.
Yes. So as co-founders, okay, this is almost like, to my mind, I just got this message that it reminds me of the Hebrews, the Israelites, what they're doing. They're headed for captivity. That's what I see.
You say you just got a message that said what?
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
No, I got
the background.
Okay, yeah. From your what you just said, it's almost like we're Israelites headed for captivity because of that.
That's correct. That is correct. The same principle is happening less than 2,000 years later, right now.
Mm-hmm.
The same
thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Bible is basically preaching itself.
There's nothing new under the sun. Well, there's
nothing
new
under the sun.
Yeah.
That's
and
correct.
And for our learning. If we don't learn from our history, we'll be doomed to repeat it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your strategies? What are your strategies for the urban conservatives of America? What do you do? What do you guys, both of you, are working together on this? Is that that's correct, right?
Yes.
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 Okay.
So we see this as ministry, right?
Okay.
This goes beyond the left and the right, which we are clearly on the right. But in order to really get to the root of the problem, you have to tap into the heart of the problem. And so it is just going out and really sharing the truth with people and bringing them back to God. It's addressing things from a biblical perspective.
Biblical perspective.
Yeah, because you all mentioned the pastors and things like that. I mean, they do have a huge influence in the Black community. We have people, I call them wickedness in high places, who have done a phenomenal job of studying our culture and seeing what makes us tick, and they have used these pastors. They've used their influence. To really teach our community sound mentally. So we have to go around the church physical. We have to go around social media. We have to go around mainstream media. We have to be in the community. When we look at the life of Jesus, he went out to do the work of the ministry. He was always out amongst the people, right? How can you reach the people if you stay within four walls or if you stay behind a keyboard? You know what I'm saying? You have to get out and talk to people. You have to present yourself as friendly in order for them to really hear your heart and consider what you have to say. You know, it's those one-on-one conversations where you can really get to the root, the deep issues that people have as a whole, and provide solutions, real solutions. So there's a lot of things going on, in the world, and people are wondering, like, what's going on, and we have that truth. We have the truth of God on our side, and we have the truth, meaning God has just given us wisdom, and he's opened our eyes to a lot of things that have gone on in our government. So we plan to go out and be amongst the people. And how do we do that? We have events. We go out to their events. And, we post up and we make ourselves available. We are relatable.
That's kind of like,
we have been redeemed. And God has said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So that is our mission, to be out.
That's
awesome. It's a grassroots effort.
Right. It's kind of like the Flexit movement, but it's probably a lot different than that too. But
it's a little different. Yeah, a little different.
Yeah, I was involved with that for a little bit, and it is different. You guys are doing the right thing. And what is your name again? Your full name?
Oh, Sean Scott.
Okay. Okay. I totally get it. Get rid of the background. Okay, now I can hear you clearly again.
Okay. Yeah, so that's pretty much who we are. We are Americans, we are Christians, we happen to be Black, you know. And we have that relatability, you know. So it is what it is, right? We know that someone who has lighter skin, they can't go into our communities and share that same message because it's just not that relatability. And it's not even that, you know, you may not be light per se, but it's like there's a different language, there's a different lingo, just a different culture, right? So it's almost like me going into into the Hispanic community, you know, and I'm trying to minister to them, you know, it's just, it's going to hit them a little bit differently because I don't really understand their culture, you know, so there's going to be a, so, you know, we've just been, you know, God has given us the ability to do that. So, you know, John, he has a story as well. I mean, we all do. Our team, it just are comprised of relatable individuals who have been redeemed and who have a heart for God, a heart for his people, a love for this country, a country that we know that he gave us. You know, so we're not going to sit back and allow, you know, these outside interests and even those within to just take our country, not without a fight. You know, God has told us to occupy, and that's what we plan to do until he comes.
Right, exactly, and that's what John talked about. We're Americans first, and we support America. So would you like to hold on for a second? I have another caller here. We're going to add on and answer. John, are you there? Jonathan?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Okay, I got a caller calling. Let's see, that's you. This is caller from 918 area. Please tell us your name and if you have a question for our guests.
Yeah, my name is Donna and I'm calling from Tulsa. Hi,
Donna. Okay.
I just wanted to tell you how proud I am of you for all that you do around the abortion clinics and everything in Houston. I'm just amazed.
Thank you so much, Donna. We
love
you.
We love and appreciate you so much. Thank you.
I just wanted to call in and tell my brother and sisters, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello. Oh, you're welcome anytime.
Yeah, that's our sister in Christ. Love you, Donna.
Awesome. She just hung up. Thank you, Donna, for calling. Okay. We appreciate you being on. So, we have 11 minutes left. Do you have anything else you want to say? You want to give us your website or whatever information you want to leave behind?
Our website is ucamerica.org. You can email us at info@ucamerica.org. We are available on social media. You can message us via Messenger. My Facebook handle is just simply Sean Scott. Jonathan is Jonathan McCullough Sr., I believe. And, you know, Facebook, they kind of censor us. They haven't allowed us to get past, I think, 30,000, even though we see people like the page every day, you know, how that goes. But you can reach us through the website or reach out to us in Messenger, or you can email us as well.
So this is ucamerica.org.
ucamerica.org. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So I don't want this to be the last time you come on. Actually, I'd like to do a Zoom video with you too sometime in the future.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is going on the Zoom. Going to go on a bigger network that's going to get a lot more exposure. This network actually does go. It goes around the world. So I mean, it goes places I ever thought it went. So, and the more you share this, this link right here that you see is going to be there forever. You can always share this.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And so, and we would love to just make a call for people to join our mission and to support. We need to get the message out there, and in order to do that, it does take resources. So, however people, like to support us, we would really appreciate it. We've been doing this on our own for 3 years or better, with most of our own resources. So, and that can only go so far. So, we would just love for people to join us. It's not just a mission for UCA. It's much bigger than that. Because saving urban America, these big cities that have been really hard hit by liberal ideologies, it affects everyone involved. So please join our
mission. Yeah, it takes a unified effort. Please join our mission.
You two are fantastic. I like this.
Thank
because
you.
This is what we, and as a matter of fact, I was telling Jonathan that I know some people in Ohio, and we could probably make it happen, a chapter or something like that. That would be interesting.
Absolutely.
That would be discouraged by other ones.
Absolutely.
So,
is your assignment until we talk again. Listen, because I was just about to say we aspire to bring Urban Concerns of America all across the nation, because we're faith based and we are unique. Nobody is doing what we're doing, and we are glad about it because God has given us this assignment, and we are going to take this message across America.
Amen. I'm going to tell you this one little story really quick before you let us go. When we first started UCA, we went to the lawyer, and we were, we were nervous if we were going to be able to get the name, and we gave him, Urban Conservatives of America. He said, and he kind of chuckled. He's like, oh, I assure you, nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that. You are safe. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
And we really didn't understand then, but we definitely understand now. Nobody's doing it. Nobody's coming to save us. And we realize this is a mission that we have to do.
I got another phone call. If you guys want to hang around and answer the questions,
sure.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
We have a caller from area code 928. Is that Arizona, please? Caller?
No, that's my number from when I lived in Arizona, but I actually live in San Antonio, Texas now.
Okay.
Hi. I just wanted to say hello to our founders.
Hey,
UCA, Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan McCullough and Sean Scott. Hi. When I joined UCA, I was in a transition of my life, a transition of just, changing some different things going on within me. And joining UCA has really brought out the best in me. It has made me bolder, more into the Lord and more into the things that's going on into this world to make a difference and to make a change. So I just want to say that anybody that's listening, UCA is the real deal. Real people, real mission, real goals, loves the Lord, and just wants to see people fulfill the purpose that God has for their lives. So I just wanted
Amen.
To just call in and say
yeah.
that, and that I love you guys.
We love you, too. Thank you, Yakini.
I love you, too. You're going to make me cry.
I just had to call in.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Yakini.
You for your support.
God bless you. Yakini Wisdom is our director in San Antonio, and she has been a she has been a blessing. She's been a blessing.
She has been a blessing. She has a beautiful voice. You should hear her sing the national anthem.
Voice. And a beautiful heart.
And a beautiful heart.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
No problem. God bless.
God bless
you.
You
too. Yeah. This, okay. The people I have in mind. I mean, they're. I'm just going to say it. They're very discouraged with the other organization I won't name, because their focus was not on what they wanted to be. So they are looking for something else. And a friend of mine, Mr. Donovan Larkin, would be probably interested too. He has his own. He works with the Trump administration before he was president. So he's got a lot of influence and everything. He'd be a great leader. He used to be the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference at one time. So a very, very good resources.
Oh, that would be awesome. Make that connection.
He owns a ranch. Yeah, yeah. I will. I'm going to give you his information, and I'm going to share it with you, and we'll go from there. So we have 4 minutes left. You guys are awesome. I like what you do. Very impressive. And you're a team. And that shows when people call from other places and they call about you, that means a lot. That's pretty – that says a lot. You don't see that all the time.
Yes,
I
appreciate it.
You have supporters that really believe in this, that believe in what you're doing. But yeah, I will push that. I will push this. I will talk to my people, and that would be awesome to have something like that. And they're looking for things to do to support.
Okay.
And this sounds like something that they would love. But I will be I'll be in touch with you, and I'll let you know how things are going, and I'll direct them to this. And I'll send them a copy of this program, this recording, this link.
Okay.
So they can listen to it, and I think this is going to work out. And
awesome.
We'll see how that works.
Thank
looking
you.
Forward to it.
But I appreciate you coming on. No problem. I'm glad you called, and because you're a co-founder, I'd love to pick your brain. I have picked your brain this evening too, and I've learned a lot about what you guys do, and you have a great organization. And
thank you.
So, and I've interviewed some blessed people in Jexit and the. Which is the Jewish Exit, and I know the leaders of those groups. I know of Lexit, which is Latino. I know them personally, and I've had them on this program. And this is another one. This is a score for the program and for you guys. I like how this is. You know, this just happens to be because I kind of like got Jonathan by almost by accident. I wanted to have him and his friend together, Olanda. So. But it worked out. I like it. I like it. This is something that people don't know exists. So we want to spread this around a little bit more,
yeah.
And maybe expand
yes.
it to other states. So we have research.
Yes.
We can maybe do a Midwest one as well. So depending on who we can
awesome.
Get together. So
awesome.
I think
let's
people in Ohio need this. Yes.
Well, we're excited. This is what our
yes,
ultimate
we are.
Goal was. To take it across the nation. So I am it's an honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you for the invitation. We're Urban Concerns of America. I'm Jonathan McCullough. That's Sean Scott. We are in it to win it. We will not give up because this is the calling from God, and you know, somebody has to do it. This is a job that nobody wants to do, but guess what? Somebody has to do it. Everybody wanna get on
Absolutely.
Board with leading people into captivity, but nobody wants to liberate them. So we are honored to do it. This is our assignment, and we're very excited about it.
Yes,
thank
we are.
You. I'm honored to have you two
Thank
on,
you
too.
So much for
I appreciate
us.
You coming on. You are so welcome. All right, I'll get in touch with you again. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This is the end of the program, and we appreciate you. So, everybody, good night. Have a great evening, and we'll talk. Thank you.
God bless.
Have a good night. God bless.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the end of the show, the American Allegiance program. That's awesome. A footnote, my old unit, the 180th, they're doing war games now. Thank God I'm retired. War games are serious, military readiness. And I feel for those guys. It's like a 5-day, you know, exercise. And good luck, guys. I know you can't hear me right now, but God bless America. You're doing the right thing. So we'll see you next week, Wednesday, and we have a special guest, another network host from the national, or for PNR, from PNR. So we wish you the best of luck, and have a good night. Later.